This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Read about it in the Wall Street Journal, it's already too late.
Nobody knows if the stock is going to go up, down, sideways.
The only problem you're going to have is that you didn't buy more. Let me lock in that trade right now and get back to you with my secretary with an exact confirmation.
All right, buy or sell time. And we're doing this a little differently. Michael is a big football fan. He's a hockey fan and Star Trek. So he's not always thinking of all sports in the buy or sell world. So I'm going to come up with the buy or sells. And then, oh, you have one. If you have one, great. It's a bonus. And then I'm going to tell you whether or not I'm buying or selling it. I'm asking the hooligans to text in. You guys tell me if you're buying or selling. Here's my first one. It's early. We're just now in the preseason. But Sean Payton has said the two most beautiful words in all of sports. He's uttered Super Bowl in connection with the Denver Broncos. Are you buying or selling that the Denver Broncos are a true Super Bowl contender? I want to get high on this, Mike. I do.
Rich Eisen has him in his way too early top 10.
I could have him in the top 10 all day. But can they beat Baltimore and Buffalo and Kansas City? Yes, I know. We're going to win every game. I am buying it. I'm buying it. I've been holding this off for a while. But I do believe with that defense, with the upgrade in the run game, with Evan Ingram, I'm buying it. I think the Broncos could win a Super Bowl. Still some things need to happen, but I think they could. Okay, you guys tell me where you're going. Buy or sell? And this is kind of like an obvious for me, but it's not obvious, I guess. Because this was going to be about, are you worried about Bo Nix having a sophomore slump? And I'm going to rephrase the buy or sell here. Is Bo Nix going to become a game manager? Is this team going to be based off of an amazing defense and a quarterback that is just asked to take the safe route? Are you buying or selling that? So I don't know if Bo's like a gun. He's kind of a gunslinger, I guess, kind of, but he's smart. And that's what Sean Payton loved about him so much. I think maybe some will perceive this year as a sophomore slump for him because he will have, I think, worse numbers. So I am going to buy that he might be, air quotes, listed as more of a game manager, but that's just because that's what he's going to be asked to do for as long as they have this elite defense.
I think he is as smart as, like, one of the smartest quarterbacks. I think he can do whatever Sean wants him to do. So if he's, like you say, going to be a game manager, he can be a game manager. If he's going to throw the ball down the field, he can do it.
I think he'll take shots. I just don't know if it's going to be sling after sling. And this, I already had this in the mix, but yes, you guys bring me buy or sells too. Big Hub has a buy or sell. Shedeur Sanders, does he start week one? I said 2 weeks ago that I didn't think he was going to make the team. Where is he on the depth chart? I mean, you had two guys that have been banged up for Cleveland, Kenny Pickett, and then didn't Dylan Gabriel kind of get messed up? So that cleared the way for Shedeur Sanders to get the full, you know, a real full look. But I just, unless Cleveland just, it's going to make them look terrible, Mike. If they start Shedeur Sanders, they drafted Dillon Gabriel over him, it's going to make it look like they have no clue how to evaluate a quarterback, which they do not.
Well, didn't this, not the same thing, but didn't something like this happen with the 49ers? They drafted a quarterback in the first round, and now they have Mr. Irrelevant.
Was that Trey Lance, the first? Are you talking about Trey Lance?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Brock Purdy, and kind of worked out for him, but they built the team. They basically had stars in every other area save for the quarterback. I'm going to say I wouldn't put past Cleveland to do the opposite of the smart thing. Now, Shedeur Sanders against the Carolina Panthers preseason squad. I mean, it's not a, Carolina's not a good team, and they're not going anywhere anytime soon. But he played well for one game, for a good chunk of a game. He was 14 of 23 for 138 yards. He threw two touchdowns. He looked good. Is he going to make the team based off of that performance? Probably, but so does that mean, I would guess that would mean Pickett does not make the team? Because you're not going to cut both of your rookies. You're not going to cut the rookie that you drafted higher than Shedeur Sanders. So it's going to be Joe Flacco, Dillon Gabriel, and Shedeur Sanders then.
I would absolutely agree with you. I think it's going to be kind of a Tebow situation where they're going to start.
Yeah.
It's going to be a disaster in Cleveland once again. They're going to start Flacco. Flacco starts doing terribly. The fans are going to go, we want Shedeur. And then we're going to have a Tebow situation only with a guy who can read defenses and actually throw the ball.
Yeah, Shedeur, like, and I made these comparisons in the past. The Sanders fan base versus the Tebow fan base. And they're not, like, similar necessarily, but the way they just freak out at the slightest negative analyzation of his play, take it as a personal hit. If you criticize Tebow's arm, you weren't a Christian. If you criticize Shedeur Sanders, you are a racist. Like, I've experienced both of that in my time doing this show.
Yeah, it's like logic goes out the window when you become so obsessed with this one person. It's like, and you know how I like kind of play up, you know, oh, the Broncos are going to win every game. But I can still criticize the Broncos. I can still go, wow, that was, he did not, Bo Nix did not have the best game he's had.
Yeah.
But, like, these fans are, like, flipping serious.
Yeah, listen to this. So, this is my post. This is my post from last week after Shedeur Sanders. I posted this on X. I was absolutely shocked when Shedeur bumped out of the first round. I watched most of his CU career. He had a terrible O-line but made it work. I started doubting that he was going to make the team based off of Brown's insider reports. Had me second-guessing everything surrounding this dude. Weird entrance tonight, but he showed up yet again. He's an interesting study, but at the end of the day, can he football? Yes, I believe he can. This is from, I won't read the name, why was it weird? He walked in with his teammates. Should he have crawled? And I just shared the video of him walking next to another player, it's a teammate, holding a boombox for him, playing music as he entered. And I said, yeah, every quarterback rookie does this, right? And then we continue. This woman says, it's about policing us as a whole and keeping us in our place. But these microaggressions are getting out of hand. And so I said, policing us? Are you also a rookie quarterback? No. Of course she's not. She's taking it into the race thing. And then here's another one. People think they can dictate how people behave. We know what it is. They think they can dictate how he walks, talks, and lives his life. It's amusing to me. I'm talking about football. And I'm talking about attitude in football. If Bo Nix showed up for his very first preseason game last year with a teammate to the left of him with a boombox playing his entry song, and Bo is still like, is he going to start or not? I would call that out and say, uh-oh, Sean Payton has a handful in his hands. This is going to be interesting to see how this goes down. I did the same take on Baker Mayfield. I did the same take on Johnny Manziel. But yet when it's about Shedeur Sanders, you are racist.
If I was like a
so weird.
If I was a quarterback for a rival team and I knew I wasn't going to make the team and I knew my future in the NFL was like not going to happen, I would walk in with a boombox. I would do like the same thing, only play like the lamest song just to make fun of
and
Shedeur.
I would criticize you for that as well. Eastside Chris, why not buy in on the Super Bowl? I bought in on 80 Rockies wins this year. He said, Chris, we're trying to get to 35. Michael, what is your buy or sell? Did we already ask it, or do you have it, or do you remember it?
We did talk about this a little earlier, but I want to go back to it because I kind of feel the same way. Should the Broncos have signed Courtland Sutton to a longer deal, or maybe they should have given the money to Nick Benito?
This has the potential, because I feel like ever since Greg Penner and Rob Walton got once the ownership thing transferred over, and obviously it's Walton and Greg Penner kind of running things above George and Sean Payton, I just feel like at every turn they've made the right decision. They're not too overly loyal. Look at Justin Simmons. They're not Dick Monfort. Just because we love you doesn't mean we're going to sign you. Justin Simmons said he would play for Denver for a discount, and they still said, no, we need to go in a different direction. I feel like they handled the Russell Wilson thing. Some might argue it, but I think they handled that as well as they possibly could. Even going back to George Payton's rock in a hard place situation that he was in. I feel like Sean Payton has handled things really well. This Courtland Sutton thing, it could go both ways. It could be great, and he ends his career with the Broncos, and he's one of the best receivers the Broncos have ever seen. He's top three or four. Or he could be just a guy, and he's in his 30s, and he just kind of dwindles. And, yeah, you still were able to sign Nick Benito, but maybe you're not able to sign, who is it? Like, John Franklin Myers is also up for a contract extension, Mike? You maybe not sign a guy like that. What if Riley Moss has a great year? He's going to want money. I mean, so that's why when we talk about the money, we're not like, oh, no, we're wasting money. It's not our money. We don't care. What we care about is you gave all the money to that guy, and that guy, when you should have been giving the money to this guy, and this guy. Now, they gave the money to the right guy with Patrick Surtain. I believe they gave the money to the right guy in Garrett Bowles and Quinn Miners. They've done the right things there. But yeah, buy or sell, whether it was the right move to sign Sutton, I would have signed Nick Benito first. Unless I just have it on good authority that I've got. I know I can do it. It's going to work within the salary cap. I can get both. But Sutton, between Allen, Benito, and Sutton, Sutton was my third guy. I would have taken care of those two guys, studs on defense, Zach Allen and Nick Benito first.
So you think that the Broncos... Me putting words in your mouth. You think the Broncos are deep enough at wide receiver?
No, I don't.
Because that would be my one argument. Okay, we are very deep on defense, and yet we want these two studs, but we're not as deep at wide receiver. So we need this number one.
Yes, and that's a valid point because Bo Nix trusts him. They have a great connection. But I guess here's the question. Who's more important to the Broncos? Nick Benito or Courtland Sutton? Who's the more important guy? I mean, Nick Benito has the chance to be your best player. I know. Even over Patrick Surtain. But let's face it. Cornerbacks, their best games are when we're not talking about them. They affect the game. That's my favorite position in sports, is the cornerback position. So I have no disrespect for that. But can a corner consistently save games like a bad mamma jamma of a pass rusher? Those guys are getting paid. Now look at Myles Garrett's contract. Those guys are getting paid. Quarterback. Guy protecting the quarterback. Guy going after the quarterback. Those are the highest paid positions. But I get your point. You can't throw Bo Nix out there, who's still a young quarterback in the eyes of the NFL, without a safety blanket. And Courtland Sutton is that, especially with a shaky run game passed. We don't know if R.J. Harvey's going to work out. That's just a prediction. We don't know if J.K. Dobbins is going to stay healthy. That's just a prediction. That's not even a prediction. You can't predict someone's health. So there's a lot of variables in the offense. Courtland Sutton's your one constant, so I get both sides of that. Me personally, I'm sitting there with two contracts. I can sign one. I'm signing Nick Benito. That's where I'm going first.
Okay, let's say that they had signed Nick Benito, and Zach Allen and Courtland Sutton are up at the end of this year.
Mm-hmm.
And the Broncos have a good year running the ball. The Broncos have a good year at the tight end position. Are you still thinking Zach Allen, or are you maybe going back to the wide receiver position and saying, okay, we need to address this in free agency, we need to address this in the draft?
Well, all this is going to be Monday morning quarterback stuff, right? Like, let's say Zach Allen isn't good this year, and Courtland Sutton tears it up. And Nick Benito, maybe he doesn't even – I'm sure he'll get a contract soon. But let's say Sutton's the one who becomes, like, the stud. And I don't think it's too late for him. I don't think he's, like, out of his prime. He's had injuries. He's had a weird – the dude has been through everything with Denver. But, yeah, I suppose there's a risk of at the end of this, like, oh, we shouldn't have gave Zach Allen that money. We talked about this for months with we talked about this for years with the Nuggets and Michael Porter Jr. Was at the time when they signed him, you're kind of like, yeah, keeping this potential dynasty type of team together, and Porter's a lethal 3-point shooter, great. And then enter all the goofy stuff that I still don't really know is the apron crap in the NBA. Made it really difficult to keep a deep bench. And that's the way the Thunder won a title, among a few things, but certainly a big one, was they were deeper than everybody else. So then suddenly the Porter Jr. contract didn't just look like, hasn't lived up to it. It was actually hurting the team's championship chances. So that's what's interesting to me on this whole debate is, if all three guys work out, then we don't have an argument. But what if John Franklin Myers goes off this year? What if Riley Moss goes off this year? You're going to have to pay. Can you pay both of those guys? Can you pay them both? Can you pay one?
That's it's almost like, what is the saying? Embarrassment of riches or something? It's like you kind of want those problems, don't you?
You do. This is also like you have marquee players now. Zach Allen is a marquee player. Nick Benito is. Courtland Sutton, is he a top 10 wide receiver?
He could be.
Yeah, he could be.
This is the second year he's going to have with a quarterback who is proven to be a solid quarterback.
Yes.
Will he have a sophomore slump? I mean, maybe. Maybe not. I don't think he will. But he had a good connection last year. If he has a good connection this year, I mean, then it was the right decision.
It's funny because I'm saying I would sign Nick Benito first, but I've also gone on record saying I think this is going to be Courtland Sutton's career year. It's going to be his best year. I mean, he's had his best year was year two. He had 1,100 yards and 6 touchdowns. That's not his best touchdown production, but I think he could be a 1,300-yard guy, which would put him in the upper echelon of wide receivers in this league.
I think it would be awesome if he was a 2,000-yard guy, but I don't think he's fast enough.
No, I don't think a lot of things are going to have to go right for him to actually get those kind of numbers. And if they have a really good run game and they are asking Bo Nix, and again, if Bo Nix is a game manager, that does not mean that it's going to be a negative for Courtland Sutton. Because Sutton isn't always the guy in the, I mean, yeah, he made a lot of crazy touchdown catches that final year with Russell Wilson. Wilson. Russell Westbrook, Wilson, a lot of Russes. But he's still a guy that's consistent on the comeback routes and the drags across the field. He's a guy that can get 5-6 catches and still maybe he's only got like 60 yards, but they're all really important chain-moving receptions.
And he's not selfish. He's willing to block.
No, he's like the least selfish dude
of the three that you mentioned. He is my favorite. He's one of my favorites because I like that type. Yeah, charismatic players are fun, but the type of player who's a quiet leader, who gets the job done, who's like, you know what, I didn't get the contract this year, but you know, maybe I'm going to play for it next year. Like, I love that type of person.
Yeah, and that's who he was, and he showed up. He came to camp this year like on a mini lockout. Like, he showed up, he was there, he's out on the field, but he's not participating in everything. I'll take that. You know, and again, the guys that are on a lockout, they don't have to be there, and you understand why they're not there, but then, or a holdout. But when you see Sutton do what he's done the last 2 years, there's a lot of respect to be earned, or to be gained by that. And I think he did it. I think he's going to go down as a Bronco favorite.
And I think that showed ownership. Okay, I'm holding out, but I really want to be with this team. I want to be a leader. I want to be a part of this franchise. Now it's your turn. It's not like a lot of players who, I think the first person I remember holding out was like Michael Crabtree at the beginning of his career, just like holding out, I want more money. And now a bunch of people do it. He's just a different guy, and it just seems more and more rare at the wide receiver position.
And like I said, I have no issue. I'm glad they got the deal done with Sutton. My biggest thought was, hopefully that doesn't hurt upcoming contracts, because they're going to get the Nick Benito thing done. That's going to happen. But when you lock up 4 or 5, because they're all going to be over $20 million, right? So when you lock up several guys over the $20 million marks, Patrick Surtain, and is Garrett in that mix? Is Quinn Miners in that mix?
Miners is going to have to be in that mix. With the amount of money you're paying a lot of the other offensive linemen.
I think he is.
I think.
You don't leave yourself room for those young guys to come up and explode. Because again, you're going to pay Bo Nix in a couple of years. The hope is that he's that great of a quarterback, and you are going to have to face that. But right now, Denver's doing the right things, and they're paying the guys that deserve to be paid. Maybe they didn't. I thought they got a Quinn Miners deal done. What is his deal? Why can't I find it? But you're paying McGlinchey a lot of money. Powers is under 20, I think, but you're still paying him a lot. Now you got the Zach Allen deal done. You got the Sutton deal done. Those two are big money guys. Sertan's deal's done. So that's why we have these conversations, I guess.
Quinn Miners signed a 4-year, $80 million contract extension with the Denver Broncos. This is according to AI.
So he's like right at the 20 mark.
Yes, and the extension is through 2028, and this comes from an ESPN article that AI is quoting.
Oh, it's AI? How can you tell it's AI?
It says AI overview on Google. I'm being very lazy, but AI says it got it from an ESPN article.
Very, very good. Good work, but you get overtime pay today. 28 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break here. The Lorado Whiskey poll question of the day is, are you concerned about the first unit on offense for the Broncos? Yes, no, or bro, it's preseason. Michael, let's take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
For more on KFKA programs, podcasts, sports schedule, and news, go to 1310kfka.com.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
Lemons Heating and Cooling will keep you cool. We're not out of the woods, not even close. It's August 11th, and I know the weekend was a little bit cooler, or Sunday was, and that was Sunday. Oh, the storm's coming in at my new place, just looking out off the deck, seeing the clouds roll in. Absolutely loved it. But I know we still got 90s, mid-90s, maybe more coming up. That air conditioner has been working hard, especially the last couple of weeks. Maybe it's running out of juice. Maybe it's running out of steam. Get it looked at. They got free estimates available at lemonsheatingandcooling.com. But then as we talk about that, soon enough, we're going to get into the fall months. And then you're going to think, oh man, my heater had a weird smell. And it wasn't just after the first time I turned it on. It was something going on there. It wasn't heating up the house properly. Now's the time. Call Lemons Heating and Cooling. 970-567-0798. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. On the Shedeur Sanders thing, 14 of 23, 138 yards and two touchdowns. This is, and I had somebody else, you know, say arguing with me about the entrance, and they said the Browns don't have any issue with it. Why should you? And I said, oh, the Browns have issues. All right, they have, especially quarterback issues, and they've had those for a while. This is a team that drafted Baker Mayfield, gave him the keys to the car, ripped those keys to the car. Baker Mayfield goes to Tampa Bay and becomes a pretty darn good quarterback. This is a team that paid a lot of money for a guy that was in a lot of, well, and I guess there's a lot of settling, but what, 23 plus women were coming forward saying that he was inappropriate during massages in Deshaun Watson. This is Cleveland. This is also the same group that said, you know, we believe he's innocent, but he's also in the same paragraph. They said he's going to learn from this. Well, what's he going to learn from if he's innocent? Got me.
Well, he's got to be more innocent, Brady. He's got to be innocenter.
Yeah, I don't know. But this, and then you go get Joe Flacco, and then you draft two quarterbacks, Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders, and you draft Shedeur in the fifth round. Clearly, it's a guy in the fifth round you don't believe is going to be the guy. Otherwise, you would have taken him earlier. But you draft him. He's a Tebow guy. Like, he is a distraction if he's not good. As soon as Joe Flacco or Dylan Gabriel or Kenny Pickett struggles, it's going to be Shedeur Sanders' chance. Just like, go ask Kyle Orton how that went down when Tebow was his backup. Guy had no chance. Had zero chance of surviving once the Broncos drafted Tim Tebow. But for one performance, Shedeur played well. Is that good for Cleveland or bad for Cleveland? Like, if he ends up being the starting quarterback, it just shows your lack of quarterback evaluating talent. Because you drafted Dylan Gabriel before him, you went and picked up Kenny Pickett, and you got Joe Flacco. They got Tyler Huntley back in the fold here. And if he doesn't start, then it's going to make you look bad too, because he performed so well in a preseason game against one of the bad teams in the NFL. But I thought he played well.
Are their ticket sales just really awful? Is that why they reached? Is it, like, what is going on in that franchise?
I don't know. I still don't understand why. I mean, he fell. Everybody thought the same thing, apparently, about Shedeur Sanders. He fell. But why draft Dylan Gabriel before him and then draft Shedeur Sanders? Gabriel's a third-round guy. Some had him projected in the second round. Shedeur was projected in the first round until, like, 3 weeks before the draft, and then his stock fell. The Sanders apologists and Sanders' side will tell you that he was great in all the meetings, but the stock plummeted basically after he started having meetings with teams. You tell me. Eastside Chris texting in on the First Advantage text line. Brady, as a father who had a great son with issues was wondering, is your best friend adjusting well? My best friend? I don't know. I'm not sure what that means, he said, Chris.
Is he talking about me? Because you and I are really good friends.
I don't know. Not sure. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Hey, I'm like Ron Burgundy, man. I'll just read whatever's on the prompter on the text line.
Hang on, let me send a text.
Don't take that literally. Get us kicked off. My first day back after a week off. 38 minutes after the hour. Are the Broncos going to start the season 1-0? We got the Tennessee Titans a few weeks away will be the Denver Broncos' first opponent. Are they going to get it done? Go 1-0. We're going to do somewhat of a dive into each and every opponent every day here on the show leading up to the regular season. But let's do that after we get a quick look at the latest on the Local Sports Flash.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets podcast. And you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hall.
Just a young gun with a quick fuse. I was uptight, wanna let loose. I was dreaming of bigger things and wanna leave my old life behind. Not a yes sir, not a follower. Fit the box, fit the mold, have a seat in the foyer.
First rule of The Whole Show, you can't dislike the tunes that are selected, Michael. Your music makes me, and I love heavy metal, makes me want to run my car into a brick wall as fast as I can. That is just the truth of it.
Okay, so we're going to come back with my songs.
No. That's not appropriate for radio. Your songs are not appropriate. In fact, your songs are not appropriate for anyone. Can we just go there?
So, like, the last few songs that we played were all my selection, except for the Metallica one.
Yeah.
And none of those were appropriate.
Well, you don't listen to those on your own. I've been around you.
Yeah, I listen to Kool and the Gang.
I walk into your office and you have a screamo gothic bats dancing around. Like, it sounds like you are at the biggest Halloween ball there is when I walk into your office. I just picture you dancing around a big old pot, you know, throwing different recipes in, creating voodoo dolls of Tanner and all that while listening to whatever it is you call that back there. It's scary, man. It's scary. It terrifies people. Like, when I don't want kids to come here. It's scary back there.
Again, played Kool and the Gang, which is, that's a great song.
Everybody has random songs that they kind of like, but your music is like, scary, dude.
You just sounded like a bird.
That's what it sounds like to me. All right, let me guess. Game one, Denver Broncos, Tennessee Titans. Are the Broncos going to be 1-0 after September 7th's first game of the season, 2:05 on Fox?
Is water wet?
They are going to stomp the Tennessee Titans. Brian Callahan, they decide to stay with him and pretty much the entire coaching staff after going 3-14 last year. I'm looking at what they have. I mean, they have Tony Pollard, who is a good running back. They don't have any receivers. I mean, Calvin Ridley's 97 years old. Defensively, I mean, let's go back. Their offensive line is not very good. They're already mismatching, doing a few things. They brought in Dan Moore to play left tackle from Pittsburgh. Their first-round pick from a year ago, J.C. Latham, who was their left tackle last year as a rookie, they're moving him to right tackle, which is where he played in college primarily, but they've already moved him around a lot. They got former Bronco Lloyd Cushenberry at center, but he has injury concerns. Defensively, another former Bronco. You got Draymond Jones and what's his name? Cody Barton. Yeah, it's blanked out completely. Cam Ward era is the thing that they're rooting for, is that Cam Ward can save this team, that he can work miracles. I love Cam Ward. I'm a big fan of his. I think he's going to... Given the right tools, he could be a really good quarterback. But Tennessee is going nowhere right now. I mean, he is giving the fan... Cam Ward gives Titans fans hope. But this young, weird offensive line mix, I think Denver easily comes out and wins this game against Tennessee. And I think this will probably be it for their head coach and Brian Callahan. I mean... They were close to firing him last year after going 3-14, but they decided to stay the course, see if it would get any better. But I would say he is definitely on the hot seat. And this is big because he's supposed to be like a quarterback developer. So even if he does kind of get somewhere with Cam Ward, is there going to be enough progress there for the Titans? I don't think the Titans have any weapons of any kind that would give the Broncos defense any kind of a fit. And then this would be one of those games where it's like, Bo, just don't throw interceptions. Don't have any pick sixes, no fumbles, nothing crazy, and you're going to be able to go 1-0. There you go, Mike. That's happening. That's for sure happening. I'm doing my predictions as we go here, and Denver will be 1-0 after they beat the Titans. You're welcome. That'll be a part of the pick segment, too, which I was on fire last year. Mike, I was so good. Do you remember the picks? Did them every Friday?
You were 3-11.
No, it was 41-28 against the spread. 41-28. That's pretty good when you're considering I'm picking Broncos, Colorado State, UNC, CU, Wyoming, and Air Force. Six teams that normally, if I didn't have to, I wouldn't pick them. So, yes, he said, Chris, you're talking about my kiddo. It's kind of interesting. It's an interesting week so far. It was an interesting week last week with the adjustment. It's been new for him, and change is kind of a scary thing for him. He also texts in and says, Micah, according to Tanner, has to pay people to be a best friend. Is that true? You have to pay people to be your best friend, Mike?
That's not true.
Oh, okay. I was like, man,
I don't really pay you, and we're good friends.
Yeah.
I helped you pick out your house.
Well, I would say we're friends. We're friends.
And we're great friends, probably best friends. I mean, I helped you with the moving company.
No, none of that stuff. 49 minutes after the hour. What do we learn? Coming up next, it's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
It's Broncos training camp time. Follow the summer headlines with us on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Warren Jackson, former CSU wide receiver, and you're listening to the whole show on KFK.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
What do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
All right, what did we learn on this 11th day of August? We learned a few things. We learned that Shedeur Sanders is going to carry on the Coach Prime thing. Like, the fan base is going to be crazy for him. If you have a take, I do not envy Cleveland Browns beat writers and stuff for all that. We also learned that CSU is among three teams that is filing another complaint lawsuit against the Mountain West. There's battles going on there. I don't know who's going to win. We'll talk to Kevin Lytle about that more later on Thursday. Mike, what did you learn today, my friend? I'm curious. Did you learn anything?
I learned that we are great friends.
Oh, yeah, sure. We are.
I learned that you would rather not have re-signed Cortland Sutton, but instead signed a defensive player.
They're going to win the Super
Extended
Bowl
rather.
Based off their defense. It's going to be just like 2015. I am going all in. We learned that today because I bought it. I agree with Sean Payton. I think the Denver Broncos can win a Super Bowl. And I think it's going to be mainly because of their defense, but a much improved rushing attack for the Broncos.
I also learned that there are a bunch of people who are going to buy Paramount Plus now.
Yeah, UFC. Does that start to put them in the running for, like, competing with the Big Four? With the NFL, the NBA, the NHL, and the WNBA? I meant the NBA. All right, that was fun today. We're back at it. Glad to be back, and we'll do it all again on a Tuesday. Preps High School football training camp coverage tonight. Bruce Dick out there on site, taking all things in, watching a Day Spring Christian. What's that team going to be like this upcoming season? That'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.